He made a wedding. He made a perpetual wedding song. That's a cheat code.
That's a cheat code.
It's a cheat code, man. That's a cheat code. He made a perpetual wedding song. It's a cheat code. It's like Will Smith made Summertime's Unlimited. Mariah Carey made Christmas. Come on, man. It's these little cheats and shit that happen, man. But no, man, John Legend, man, I would love to fight him.
Oh yeah.
I would love to fight him. Why not?
Today's podcast is brought to you by one of the absolute best real estate agents in the Cleveland market, Tom Sugar with Howard Hanna Real Estate. Tom's here to help you understand the home buying and selling process. He's here to ensure that you're also always going to get the best price, whether you're buying a home or whether you're selling a home, and his customer service skills are top notch. Give Tom a call at 216-406-2841. That's 216-406-2841. You can call or text him or visit his website, shugsells.com, shugsells.com. Visit Tom Sugar, everybody. He is the best.
I think what I find to be like most interesting, though, about Kanye from a fan's perspective is the things we don't know, right? Because we're sitting here and we're talking about, you know, he writes the greatest music, and he does, performs an amazing, you know, he does, it's his work is unbelievable, right? And then you see him go on different shows and kind of pop off and stuff, and there's that percentage of the population that's like, he's insane. And then there's that other side of the population that's going, well, he's just really misunderstood. So, like, what's your true opinion of that?
Both. I think he's not misunderstood in the way you think he's misunderstood. I think he's misunderstood. I think what people, the good things people think about him are the misconceptions. There are good parts of Kanye. I've seen it before. But it's rare.
Right.
Yeah. He doesn't care about being good, though. He doesn't try to, he doesn't, he tells you he's an asshole. He tells you all these things, but. But we choose as humans, because it's part of our nature as villagers, is to see the best part of people, especially people that seem to have power or attention.
Right.
So we want to think the best about people in that position. Like Donald Trump, people are like, well, he did some good things, named them.
Yeah.
I mean, literally name the good things he's done.
Absolutely. Besides, I mean, you always have to focus on the division of the people and what that really creates, especially with him, you know, I mean, whether, you know, you want to argue either way, whether it did good or bad, the bottom line is, like, the division of the people is not always a good thing.
You don't have to argue about good or bad. It's all in facts. It's all empiricalized data. We don't have to think about it. People want what they want to feel what they want to feel. And that's what Kanye or J. Cole or Jay-Z or Beyonce or Taylor Swift, it doesn't matter. People want to feel what they want to feel about that. What do you want to feel about your first girlfriend versus your ex that you hated, you know, versus your current girl. It's all the human machinations. But Kanye is able to manufacture the dopamine. He cries out and says, hey, they're bothering me. And humans, we naturally want to, you know, protect people. It's the little boy that cried wolf. We run down there. Every time he says, they're stopping me, then you ask a question. Most arguments can be resolved with asking a question.
Yeah, I really agree with that. Just having the actual dialogue rather than, because a lot of people in my experience, and you can tell me about yours too, you have people that instead tell other people about their problems, get all bent out of shape about it on the other side of it. But if they simply just had the conversation, it would be a totally different story.
Just ask the question. When people say, oh, I love Malik. He's my favorite person. I love him so much. God told me to be by Malik's side. What have you done for Malik?
Right.
Ends that conversation. Don't let people get close to you by using their association with me.
What's respect mean to you?
I go to the traditional word. I go to the etymology of the word, re, in ancient Latin, to do again, and spec, to look. Just look at it again.
I like that.
Analyze it, you know? Take a closer look. That's what I look at as respect.
I like that. I like that a lot. I'll switch gears a little bit here. I want to get into the work that you've done. Obviously, you've worked with a ton of artists. Some of them include Kanye West, Beyonce, John Legend, Drake, Snoop Dogg, Ty Dolla $ign. I mean, the list goes on and on.
A crazy list.
That's a crazy list, dude. That's an insane list. With Kanye, what kind of music have you written with him? Like, what? Give me some of the songs that you're a part of, and what you've done on some of those as well.
I mean, it's like, I think I'm credited for 120 songs, maybe, and that's another like 300 I'm uncredited for.
Wow.
Something like that, yeah.
Wow.
So I mean, it's like really easier to answer which songs haven't I worked on. Probably, I have to really think about that too, because, you know, when you're in this kind of ecosystem, some of my influence bleeds into songs when I'm not in the studio, because he videotapes everything and goes back and looks at it and listens to it. Hey, record that into my phone. Oh, hey, record what Malik is saying. He'll go back. It's in his hard drive. He'll go back and listen to it. So I think the Malik Yousef influence has been prominent and persistent in Kanye West's career from the beginning of it.
Yeah, I mean, and when did you meet Kanye?
His mom, Dr. Donda West, introduced me to him. She said, I want you to be around my son. And I was like, oh, who is that son? She's like, he's a rapper and a producer named Kanye West. I said, yes, ma'am, because I have a thing called mother hunger. I was abused by my mom, and, you know, it was rough. Neglected, abused, you know, shunned, hated. And so I'm constantly in this mother hunger. I have these mother wounds and these mother scars. So anybody that's a mother and she's kind and sweet, I just kind of adopt her. And I know that, like, is annoying to my friends.
Yeah.
I do understand that. And I try to augment that as much as I possibly can.
It's all out of love, though.
It's out of love. It's out of the need for love. It's out of the need for approval, you know. And it's not easy. I understand when I'm overdoing it, you know, peace be upon her, with Dorothy Carl Thomas' mother, you know, when I'm like, it's probably much for them. They're like, dude. But they don't understand that they've had her their entire life. And I've had the exact opposite of what they've had. So Common's mom and Raheem Devon's mom and Kanye's mom and Donda was just, she was the mom that everybody would love to have, especially me. So when she said, be with my son, because I would never fuck with a person like Kanye in real life. You know, okay. We're literally opposite creatures.
Yeah.
You know? We're literally not even from the same universe.
Yeah, I mean, from just my perception, obviously I've never met or know Kanye, but from my perception, yeah, you're very opposite creatures.
Yeah, I would never fuck with him. There's nothing would make me fuck with a person like him. You feel me?
I love that. It's so
but
funny.
When Donda said, and I did see good parts of him at times, you know?
Yeah.
Few and far between.
What age is this where you like met? Where you
met? This was in 2000, probably 2001, 2000.
Wow, so this is 24
years ago, yeah.
Damn, man.
You know, so, but meeting Donda West was like a highlight in my life. She's so kind, so sweet, so smart, so brilliant, so beautiful. And I mean, there's been some uneasiness with Kanye and I's relationship based on Donda. Yeah, of course. You know, you're in some dude is encroaching on you and your mother's relationship, you know. As he doesn't have any siblings, so he didn't have room and space in his spirit and his mind and his heart for a person that comes in and takes up the nurturing, you know. So I know it was rough for him to adjust, and I respect that.
What's it like to have that kind of self-awareness, and where'd you get it from? Because I think it's extremely admirable of you that you can, you just said, you're like, hey man, this is where I'm weak, this is where I have a rough time, you know. And that's kind of where this podcast actually started from, is me having a rough time trying to figure some things out. So a lot of time with my guests, I'm able to get a little bit of advice and stuff. So I really am curious as to where you got that kind of self-awareness and just humility about what you do deal with.
I mean, it's a very simple answer. Therapy. Going to therapy, having, you know, therapists and counselors, and addressing my own demonic forces that live within me and my vulnerability to outside forces that would maybe be deleterious to me, kicking my dependence on alcohol, you know, the sex addiction and the violence addiction and rage addiction and gambling addiction and, you know, food addictions and all these different things that I used as crutches to get me through my day, you know, and also keeping myself from questioning and looking for drama. And even going towards trauma and toxicity, other toxicities, to keep myself from thinking that I'm a little kid, that his mommy don't love him. You know, right. It's hard.
Right.
It's hard to look at yourself at 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, 40 years old as a creature that its mother cares not for.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
It's hard to grip onto that.
It's hard to grip on. So you use other things that will kind of assuage the pain of that thought. So, oh, Malik's beating up this cab driver. Ooh, oh, Malik's in oh, he just had a shootout with such and such and them. Because I don't have to think about the real bottom and underlying issues that I'm having. You know? So going to, you know, going to Harrah's Casino and losing $30,000 feels less painful than knowing that, you know, when I was 10 years old, my mother intentionally went to sleep without washing my softball uniform so that I could suffer intentionally. You know what I'm saying? It's rough.
It's different if it's unintentional.
If it's unintentional, it's different. If there's some chemical stuff that's prohibiting her from performing her duties as a mother, but when she says, I despise you, I loathe you, I can't stand you, I hope you die, you know, you're the devil, not a devil, the devil. And seeing your other brothers and sisters and your siblings and even neighbors and friends not being treated anything like that, it damages parts of you, man. It really fucking discombobulates your mitochondrial DNA.
Yeah, I've had problems with my mom too. So like my mom and I really had a falling out after she had broken up with my stepdad, and she had cheated on my first my dad with my stepdad, then cheated on him. You know, it's just like one thing after another, but just constant change. I'm 30 years old now. I've moved like 35 times, right? And then, you know, and that's just, like, it's just the way it goes.
Hold on, say that shit again,
G? Yeah, I'm 30 years old. I've moved 35 times.
There's no fucking way.
Yeah, I could count them all out. I could write down every address for you, actually, if I wanted to.
Hold on, you're 30 years old and you've moved 35 times?
Yeah, because my dad, what he used to do, so my
That's
parents,
impossible, bro.
So I wish it was impossible. My parents split up. My dad's like a big cokehead, still is a big alcoholic, things like that. What he would do is he would get into new places. In the city we lived in, Rocky River, which is like a small, actually extremely wealthy city, but we never had money. So he would move around all the time. He would sign a lease, not pay, you know, get evicted or whatever, kicked out, do it again. You know, we'd move all the time. And then you got to remember, my mom, too, she was moving as well. So I was moving on two ends.
Oh, Jesus.
Right? Yeah. So, like, that's the only reason it's possible. Otherwise, that would be insane. But that's what was happening for since 2001. Yeah. Wow. So that's how it all kind of went down and how it all started. So, but, yeah, we never had a great relationship.
Hold on. Since 2001?
That's when they got divorced.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it was from, I guess technically it was 01.
So 20-something years, not 30. Wow, that's crazy, bro.
Yeah, I guess it would be 20-something years, yeah, technically.
But you've combobulated yourself well, man.
No, I appreciate it, man. I'll tell you what, this has been a saving grace for me, and being able to just kind of hang out and have good conversation and, you know, keep it casual and whatever.
It's important,
I appreciate it, yeah. And like I said, with me, I think the biggest thing I struggled with was why my mom was so, like that towards me after she changed. Like I just couldn't understand. Our relationship completely deteriorated, and it's never been the same since. And now to this day, it's not that I don't like love my mom, but with pretty much a lot of my family, I prefer to not have them around.
Yeah, same way. I mean, you know, blood. So I'll say two things. You said you struggle to have a relationship. You can't have a relationship with someone you can't relate to. If you can't relate to them, and I'm not saying understand or empathize, you can do all those things, but if you can't relate to them, if it's not relative to your existence, it's not going to work, because it's going to create these chasms and these big gaps in the smoothness that's supposed to exist. And also, too, people say blood's thicker than water, right? That's a misconception.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I've always said
I'll tell you why. Okay. Because the real saying is the blood of the covenant, the brotherhood, that's a blood covenant that you say, I'm with you. Like I just said, my boy just told me that Vic Mensa told him today, he said, no, Malik's not the big homie. Malik's my blood. We don't have the same family lineage.
Yeah.
But Malik's my blood, because that's a covenant. That's a brotherhood. That's a bond that's unbreakable. So blood is thicker than, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb.
Yeah.
That's where that comes from. The embryonic fluid is not strong enough to bind you as your word is, because when you give somebody your word, you vibrate a different frequency, and you begin to vibrate on the same frequency, and it really changes your blood. It changes your blood. Hemoglobically, vibration changes your blood. You understand?
Yeah, there is that euphoria, and you can feel that difference when you're headed to something that you want to hang out with or you love to see, and it's always a good time. It's a phenomenal point.
Yeah.
That's a really great thing to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I think that's such an important part. I had struggled big time with addiction and just having crazy problems. And if you told me a year ago today, I'd be sitting here with you, I'd tell you you're fucking nuts.
Right, yeah.
You know, but I think now that the course has kind of paved itself and, you know, things kind of got moving and shaking a little bit, you know, we're just in a better headspace and things like that. But having good relationships and people around that love you and are like blood in that sense are, in my opinion, way more important.
What?
Yeah.
Bro, like my siblings, you know, one of my siblings I still talk to. The rest of them, they don't give a fuck about me. And I'm glad they don't give a fuck about me. They don't care. I've done everything I could do. I've delivered every good thing to them that I possibly could. I've made them, I've given them something to be proud of, which is me. Invited them into my inner circle, into my businesses several times. And they failed me miserably because it's my fault. I spoiled them. I took care of them, you know, until they could take care of themselves and then in turn take care of me. But it inverts. So it's like a pyramid, right? You know, I'm the big brother. You know, I have the information. I have the skills. I'm the gifted one or whatever. So I keep flooding down to them until they grow, right? Until they come up, and then it creates like this chimney, this where we're all together. But then what happens is they go past chimney stage and it goes to an inverted pyramid where now I'm at the bottom and I'm pillaring their life.
Gotcha.
And that's what happens.
I like that. You like seeing people grow.
Of course. That's one of my joys. That's why I loved working with Kanye, to help him become who he said he wanted to be.
Right.
I told Dame Dash, and Dame will tell you this. Kanye's going to be a, this was in 2023. Was 24, sorry. I said, man, we're going to make Kanye a billionaire in 2 years. I could trajectorize and prognosticate what to do with the business around Kanye. I knew the business in the industry was way bigger than the music. Dame was like, nah, it's too hard to be a billionaire. I was like, no, not with our plans. Not with how we've constructed Kanye West.
See, I love that about you because I live on what I call delusional confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I've set my goals wildly unrealistic.
Good.
And my whole thought is, like, if I accomplish half that shit, that's pretty damn good, you know? Yeah. So, but I always try to set them crazy. And, I love that you just said that. That is super, super fucking
dope. Moving in motherfucking increments, though. That's the key.
Yeah.
Moving in these motherfucking increments. You know, eat an elephant one bite at a time. Not that you have a desire to eat an elephant, but that's just, you know, it's just a metaphor. I mean, allegory, really. For something, a task that could seem gargantuan, and you take it in small parts. My dad always said, you know, life is hard by the yard, but a cinch by the inch.
Right.
It's a game of inches. You hear this in basketball, in football, and that's how I look at it. But what you've done for yourself is you said, hey, you know what? The path of addiction is too expensive.
Too expensive.
It's too expensive.
Yeah.
And that's what I've told myself, same thing. Path to addiction is too expensive.
Yeah, it is. It was too expensive for my kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and that was the one thing is I look back now and there's still, you know, you try not to let it go of how shitty you felt when you were doing the wrong things and your child was around.
Wow.
But I look back now and I don't ever want to forget that feeling because I don't ever want it again. You know? And so that's why I always say that with people too, is everybody's like, oh, I don't even remember who that person was when they say they changed and, you know, shit like that. It's like, well, just don't forget.
Oh,
you know, don't no, forget I take who that you motherfucker were, you know?
With me. I take yeah. I walk into a bar, into a club, I was like, Malik, you are a fucking raging alcoholic, G. Don't you go over to this bar and buy a bottle for yourself.
Yeah.
Don't you do it. Because I'll drink the whole bottle.
Yeah. There's a comedian, Theo Von, he says my favorite kind of weed is cocaine and my favorite kind of drink is cocaine. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because I'll go in the bar and I'm the same way, man. You know, it goes from one to another and it's off, when it's off to the races.
Yeah.
There ain't no stopping that train.
Yeah, no. Once you go crazy, listen, I've had relapses. I've had times I've slipped back. And then with that, well, with one addiction leads to others, you know, the sexual addiction was fueled by the alcohol and the alcohol was fueled by the sex and the gambling was fueled by the rage and the rage was fueled by the violence and the violence was fueled by the alcohol and the alcohol was fueled by the food addiction and just a fucking concoctency of misery, G.
Yeah, it ties together and it becomes a vicious cycle.
Yeah. You know, you fucking girls that you don't know, that you shouldn't be fucking on, that's got, it's damaging relationships with other people. It's just ridiculous.
I've been so conscious about that lately. I've not had sex in a couple months because I've been...
That's strong.
Being... I just want a girlfriend, you know? Oh, I'm not trying to just... I'm good on everything else right now. I'm there now, you know? I went through a bad breakup. That's kind of the trigger of the whole thing. I don't blame anybody. It was my own damn fault the whole way, right? Yeah. But now I feel like I'm kind of in that spot where I could probably be a good boyfriend again.
Wow.
You know, it's taking time. Still have those days, you know, where it's tough. But I think once you're talking about
being a human.
Of course, man, you have some tough days. I'm trying to give my son the best opportunities to succeed. And I feel like I'm not always right. And like, I know how I am. And I want him to also have another piece of advice in the home, right? To sit there with that, someone that's intelligent, someone that knows what they're doing, you know, someone that's just aware and is also driven, motivated. But like for me, that's why this podcast kind of exists. I think sitting in a 9-to-5 box is really settling in your life, and I just can't do it.
Some people are built for that. Some people can't.
They are. That's a great point.
And there's a lot of people built for it. You know what I'm saying? We're the anomalies that we just can't fucking wrap our crazy ass minds around sitting still. You know?
True.
And there's nothing in it for us. You know, there's no reward for us in sitting still. Feel me? And so other people, they're like, I'm sitting still until I'm not, you know? It's amazing that you talked about decision making in your household. And I found out through my therapy and working with like these really great scholars, Andre Jackson and Dr. Jordan Guleri, who's now changed the FBI and shit and NFL. But she used to be my like personal therapist.
Wow.
Now she's like famous and author and travels the world. But, you know, so crazy. One thing I've learned through these processes is that you make bad decisions. Everyone makes bad decisions.
Yeah.
But not everyone acts on those decisions. And if you don't have the right circle around you, you're going to fucking act on that decision.
Yeah.
If you say, like, say, for you say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show how strong I am. I'm going to take this 200-pound barbell, put it on my neck, and jump off the roof to test my strength. And if you don't have a fucking person around you, if you don't have a fucking person around you that says, hey, dog.
That ain't it.
You strong. We know you strong. Let's try something else. Because you're dead set. And the more you ideate it, the more times you go over it, the more stuck in your brain it gets.
Yeah.
The more times you think about it, because you're not really talking yourself out of it. You're talking yourself into it. The brain is not a great judge. It's a lawyer. If you said, I only like brunettes, right? Brunettes are the best women on the planet. I love women with dark hair. I don't like colored hair. I don't like yellow hair. I don't like blonde. I don't like any kind of dye. Only brunettes. Then you're going to not only see more brunettes, you know, it's that retinal identification component that the brain does, but it also going to tell you why blondes are no good. So when a blonde does something, you're like, see, all the blondes are that way, but this brunette does one positive thing, it's going to reinforce. That's what the brain fucking does. The brain doesn't judge. That's why you can indoctrinate people. That's why racism exists in America, because the brain's not a fucking judge. You have to have people around you that say, let me test that theory. And if you get into that echo chamber of only people that think like you, you're going to fuck up. Let's think about like the big people, Epstein and all these fucking crazy people that do the weird, like, what made you think this was a good idea, dog?
Yeah, isn't that wild? Isn't that like just the concept of that ever happening? Is that just
insane?
Yeah.
I'm going to go so far, fuck a resort. I'm going to build an island to do this wild shit on.
Yeah. What? And then they have all these like, that's fucking wild.
I mean,
that's fucking insane, dude.
Insane.
And they haven't released, like, don't they have that one chick in jail in Florida or something?
Jasmine or something like
that. Yeah, she's sitting in jail right now,
Trump
dude.
Gonna be like, I wish her well. You shouldn't have
but
said
we
nothing.
Need to know, like, what
Why
was going on
that
island.
Some shit? Don't say nothing. Why would you, as the president, be like, I wish her well? Because that's your friend? She's a fucking monster, G. But again.
Yeah, she's not in jail for no reason on
exactly.
that, dude.
You
yeah.
wish her well. Okay, you can do that, but don't say that in a press conference, G. What's wrong with you? But this is again when you got all these fucking yes men around you, and that's why with Kanye, I'm like, no,
Well, is that a tough thing for you? Because you don't seem like, obviously you're not a Trump fan, which I get.
No, but, it's not that I'm not. I know Trump personally.
Okay.
I got introduced to Trump through Mike Tyson.
No shit.
Yeah, and then reintroduced to him by Will.i.am.
Mike Tyson's the man.
That's my big bro.
Yeah, I love Mike Tyson.
On his podcast, he talked about me and him being locked up together. And I was 19 years old. I was in jail with Mike Tyson. I became his friend, and we stayed friends since then.
Is that how you met him?
That's how I met him.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
In jail.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like for you when you're in jail and Mike Tyson walks in and you're like, holy fuck.
Well, I knew he was coming. That's why I stayed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How'd you stay? I could have bonded out. Nice. I would have stayed too.
Yeah. I stayed under what they call a straw or a dummy. I had a fake person. I was a fake person.
Yeah, that's genius.
Yeah, so that's how I got caught and went to jail. And they're like, Mike Tyson's coming here. I was like, oh, no, I'm staying.
Yeah, 100%.
This is before the internet. This is before they could just say, who is this person? That take like 72 hours or longer for fingerprints to come in. So I really literally gambled my time.
Yeah.
I was on the reg, though. I came in on registration.
No shit.
Yeah, I was on the reg. So he called being on the reg. Come in on registration at IYC.
Where were you locked up at?
Indiana Youth Correctional Center.
Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's where he did his time at. And there was two parts of it. There was drugs and there was sex offense. Nonviolent, all nonviolent stuff. Anything nonviolent was there. And he came in on that bogus rape charge.
Oh, and, yeah, that's right. That's exactly what he was locked up for, that bogus rape charge.
I came on drugs. So what happens is these people used to sell you identities from college kids. They go to a college kid and be like, hey, how you doing? Let me give you $500 to use your name and address and stuff. Okay, cool. Then they go sell it to a person that's really doing crime like me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For $5,000. And I bought a dummy. So I just put my face on it. The same age, you know, usually it's like a college athlete or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And this is me now. But they probably, what I'm assuming, they resold it. So they sold the dummy to somebody and they got popped. And then that became on their record. And then I got popped. Or they bought a dummy from somebody who had been popped already.
How much time did you do?
I'm just on the reg. I'm just did like a week or so.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, on the registration.
Yeah, man. Then
bonded out off the, so I wouldn't stay there because they would find out I was gaming the system. I went to a big boy jail.
Yeah, it's not fun,
that's
dude.
That's fraud now.
That's a whole different thing. That's fucking hilarious.
Stolen identity, all that shit. We got a whole nother group of charges now.
Yeah, it's a totally different situation.
Yeah.
So I want to bounce around a little bit on this. You wrote Beyonce's Lemonade song.
I wrote Sandcastles on Lemonade.
On Lemonade, yes. Yeah,
and was part of the process of... So she had Warshawn out of London do the poetry. Well, she wrote the poetry and Beyonce recited all of her poetry, which really did a great big thing for spoken word. And Beyonce put it in the Lemonade movie. This is such a crazy thing how energy works, right? So I'm with my daughter, picking her from ballet. I have dyslexia. I don't know if you've seen my TED talk, but I have dyslexia and all these different kind of neurodivergencies and learning challenges and shit, right? So I'm driving.
You're super well spoken, so no, I didn't realize.
I stuttered my whole life.
I would like not on some gay shit, but you need like a podcast where you like just speak because it's like poetic, and I could totally like, you know what,
oh,
I mean,
man,
just
I
chill on
that,
that get some my own therapy in.
Right, exactly. No, it's for real. Well, part of like the reason why my voice feels like this, because I have a condition where my high and low vocal cords vibrate simultaneously.
Really?
Yeah, it's rare.
That's really cool, because your tone is super slick. I'm pretty jealous, actually.
Yeah, it's a weird tone. It's very distinctive, right?
No, I like it.
People know my tone, because all my vocal cords are working at the same time. It's a very rare thing. It's a very rare muscular malady. Ain't that crazy, though? It's weird. But,
I mean, what I think's amazing is even when I first spoke to you on the phone, I was like, oh, he's awesome. You just have this, like, chill... It's not a monotone voice, but it's like it's more than that. But it's you're just so like you're just so chill. I don't know, and you're smooth when you speak.
I developed it though. It's called circumlocution.
Yeah, I suck at that.
Well, what happens is I stuttered, right?
Okay.
So when I was a kid, and I still stutter. You know, whenever I get excited or nervous, I'm stuttering now. But I'm taking like pregnant pauses and shit like that.
Yeah.
So that you can't tell, you think I'm talking cool, but I'm really just stuttering.
Yeah, no,
and I'm overcoming my stuttering by circumlocuting.
So are you judging me now based on how I'm speaking?
No. My shit is just like, I'm just always in my own little motherfucking Malik world. And I just try to merge the Malik world with other people. I don't come outside much, man. I don't be outside. I don't fuck with people.
Yeah, I get it. You're not somebody that like likes to go to the club or any of that bullshit.
I do it for work.
Yeah.
But I'm not. That's time to have fun. Let's go to the fucking club. I'm not that.
What is like your spare time? What do you enjoy to do? Where do you spend it? As much as you want to let people in on what you got going on, but I'm more so the same way now. And I was never like that. So I could relate to, you know, never going outside except for like when I travel and do this.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
dope though. But it's, you get to travel to do something dope though.
It's fun.
A lot of people have to travel to go to a convention or some shit, some weird ass shit. You get to come and just like be around people that's interesting, you know, fuck with celebrities and shit like that, but also hold your own as a man. That's a very, very important thing. For me, I think I'm naturally a systems engineer.
Okay.
I have a pretty high IQ, which doesn't really mean anything because most of those people just go on Jeopardy.
That's true too.
You know, they don't do anything to fix the world.
What was that? What was that name of that person that kept winning Jeopardy? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the transgender.
Susan?
Trans woman?
I don't know. Yeah.
So, how trans works, and I'm learning this. You call them what they want to be seen as.
I've just recently learned all this.
Yeah, I'm learning this shit too. It's not easy to learn. It's a lot of nuances in that shit, G. You know.
All right, I have a question. How are you going to approach this situation? Because I dealt with this last year. And I will laugh because it is funny. I was working at a car dealership. Guy comes in. I say guy. This is a 6'3" male, white dude with a crop top on.
Oh, wow.
Up to his man tits. And then like a skirt on. Mm-hmm. You know, with a purse swung over his shoulder. My employee goes like, "Hello, sir," you know, and he had a complete meltdown. But like, I get it at that point because this isn't even close.
Yeah,
you know, it's just weird. Yeah. You know, and like, I'm not a hater. Like, do whatever you want. I want everybody to love themselves and be happy. That's really all I care about. But like, how do you truthfully work around that?
It's a great question.
Without being rude too, it's not like a rude thing. And
it's pertinent in our day and age, right? When I was in the Army. 18 years old, the motherfucking drill sergeant was calling us Girl Scouts and ladies and shit like that, right?
Really?
Yeah, of course.
I believe that.
All right, ladies. Like, goddamn, what the fuck? You know? All right, Girl Scouts. You know, shit like that. And somebody get hurt. They go, "Oh, she's hurt." So, I think people just want to call you something that you're not to make you feel bad. Because they won't call a big 6'3 motherfucker who is identified on his driver's license as a male or her license as a male. I'll call you whatever fuck you want to be called. You want to be called a woman? Fine.
Yeah, dude, I'll call you a fish. I don't care.
I really.
Yeah, me neither, dude.
I mean, but like legitimately, if you call yourself, you know, Carolyn, and you were born Carl, I'm not calling you your dead name.
Right.
I'm not going to dead name you. I don't have any, it does nothing for me to make you feel bad.
Yeah, 100%.
About your choice. If you are Carolyn, hello, Carolyn.
Right.
How are you? How can I help you, Carolyn? You are fine with that. That's your own self-identity. Have nothing to do with that. But also, don't expect me to guess what you feel like today. If you have indicators on that shit,
Then
I'm going to be on that with you. If I'm wrong, I'm going to say, cool, I'm wrong. But I don't care enough about interacting with a person that I don't know to figure out your pronouns. I'm good and I'm learning the pronoun game. I'm learning the extent of the pronoun game and all that shit. But also, I'm not going to play identity politics.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I'm not going to do that shit. That shit is not what we own. I'm on, why the fuck are the taxes for the rich so low and for the Wendy's worker so fucking high? And I don't care who you are as a Wendy's worker, if you are born male, and your name is Evelyn now. I am for you, Evelyn.
Yeah.
I am for you getting your comeuppance in the world. I'm not for you trying to dictate to me what your name is on the fly. Now, if I have a relationship with you, I have an interactivity with you, Evelyn, you're serving me my food, and your name is Evelyn. Evelyn, God bless you. I wish you great health. great success in your life, Evelyn. But I'm not just going to be walking past you and spending my time, my brain function, figuring out what your pronouns are.
Yeah.
That's a game that I'm not choosing to play because it's ridiculous. And it's a distraction.
Yeah,
it's fake. It's a fake distraction. And these kids think that they're supposed to impose that because you don't even know my name. You don't know religion I am. You don't know where I'm from. And you don't care. You just want to impose this ideology on me because you don't have anything else. And it's not your fault. You've been taught that this is how you push back on the world. It's been super mean to you. When you're a kid that forced to be a boy and you'd rather be a girl, that means the world's being mean to you.
Right.
And I understand that. I'm not going to be mean to you, but I'm not going to let you be mean to me either.
Yeah, exactly. That's where kind of the line's drawn, right?
Yeah, don't be mean to me. Tell me, if I make a mistake, if I call you ma'am and you're a sir, say, hey, you know, I'm a sir. My nigga, got you, sir.
That's it.
That's it. I'm good.
It's just that I always struggle with it. All the
other details, I'm not interested in those details. Like, I don't come to you and tell you that I like this type of thing and it's my favorite food, my favorite color is this. I don't do that. It's the same thing, you know? Your adjectives, your pronouns, you get to own those. And I get to respect you for those.
Right.
I get to be in accordance with what you want to be, how you want to be seen. But you don't get to land blast me and berate me for not having the clairvoyancy to know what the fuck you on today, shorty.
Yeah, exactly. You can't just be like, yeah. Well, that's what it is. Because like I said, the struggle I have is like, I'll call you whatever. I don't care. But like, I gotta know.
Yeah.
And there's got to, you know what I mean? So I don't know if there's a name tag or something that we could get situated.
I don't want people to be labeled in that way. The whole thing is about non-labels and shit like that. But don't expect me to have an automatic response to your whim and your feelings.
Yeah.
And your beliefs. I don't have to adopt those for us to, we don't have to think alike to think together.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, we can really solve world problems.
We can really solve world problems and respect each other and give people leeway and movement space in our world without, even if we come into collision points, it's still fine. But you're not going to make me feel bad for not fucking knowing how you feel today. You know, it's days I feel like motherfucking eating vegan and not eating steak. But I don't get mad when somebody offers me steak.
Yeah, of course.
I don't get mad. No, it's like, nah, today I'm,
like a legitimate I'm on some vegan way to look
shit,
at that.
G. I'm on some vegan shit today, G. I'm not doing it. I'm not.
Yeah, and then getting pissed because I don't know that. Even though we had steak last week.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you always come to this restaurant and order the steak, Malik. Well, this time I'm doing vegan. I'm not mad at you at all. I'm like, no, I'm vegan today, Joe. Show me your whole vegan menu. And that's how it should be. And of course, a lot of these people have been ostracized, taken advantage of, got a whole bunch of shit they dealing with, you know what I'm saying? You know, being touched without your permission when you're a kid, they got a bunch of shit they fucking with, you know? But I'm not in your circle.
Right.
I'm not your, now if you're a family member or a friend or somebody in the industry that I fuck with, and you say, hey, I'm pansexual, I'm like, okay, my nigga Wayne Brady is pansexual. How do I address you?
Yeah.
Have your pronouns switched?
You gotta know. Because
I love you.
Yeah, you gotta know.
I want to know everything about you. This random motherfucker delivering a hamburger, I don't care that much, G.
Well, you're not going to take that kind of time.
Your shit. Tell me what it is. We have a casual interactivity and then move the fuck around. Just like me. You know, somebody offer me bacon, I don't be like, what? I'm a Muslim. You don't give me no bacon. I'm like, no.
No, yeah, no thanks.
No thanks.
All right, so we'll switch gears again. I've got, here's a question for you. As far as like, you've written, like I said, you've credited for all these songs and you've, not accredited for probably even more of them.
300.
Yeah, that's wild. Maybe a little bit more. Do you have a favorite verse that you've ever written that's really gone wild? That
I can't tell you that because that's like, you know, there's a code of conduct and
okay.
respect when you're a songwriter.
Okay.
To not tell people have figured out like.
Oh yeah, like who's it for and all that stuff.
Yeah, people have figured out like they'll say a Kanye verse like you wrote that. I'm like, how the fuck did you know that?
Yeah.
Now that I know you, I could tell your style. I'm like, that's crazy. But I would never do that. You know, it's not.
I could tell your style once I looked you up. And then after I had we spoke for the first time for like, what, 10 minutes on the phone?
Yeah,
which I actually really appreciate out of you. Here's why. I got a chance not to necessarily get to know you, mm-hmm. but I could feel at least if there was a vibe to have the conversation, and, and you know what I mean? And it's nice when you have that, because I have had guests, obviously, in the past that we struggle to have conversations with, right? Everybody will give you a one-word answer, whatever it might be. And as impressive as your poetry, or, you know, I call it poetry, but as far as the writing and stuff like that goes,
I'm a spoken word artist at the core.
Yeah, and well, I mean, as well as a composer, a producer, I mean, he's done it all. I really, as we got talking, it's like, shit, I could dig on you on life situations probably even harder than I could on your career, because of how well-spoken you are, and because of what, you know, what you really believe and the way you move.
I appreciate that, my nigga.
Yeah, I really think that that's really, really impressive. What was, like, your wow moment in your career when you first kicked it off? What was, like, your, like, we'll call it your big break, I suppose, for cliche terms.
There's been in a myriad of big breaks, right? It's been like a bunch of small impacts that lead up to something big, something that may seem somewhat insignificant, you know, like going to a spoken word spot. Mm-hmm. And then that led to coming back again the next week. And then that led to being on ABC Worldwide News. And then that led to this. And this is like, it's a snowball, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's a snowball. I would say it's like, it's gestation, you know, it's like sperm and ovum mix. These two little drops of fucking liquid that contains the entire building blocks for a human.
It's wild. That's just wild, isn't it?
It's fucking crazy. That's just crazy. It's mind blowing. Yeah, it's just
crazy.
Dude. But when you look at it and how it's engineered, right? And let's look at it from an external component outside of like humans, the complexity of human. But just think like an oak tree. How much of an oak tree is an oak tree? Well, we know how much. It's the what's inside the acorn.
Right. Yeah.
It's not even the acorn itself. The acorn is the shield, is the vessel. It's what's inside the acorn. That's how much of an oak tree. The rest of it is water and fertilizer and dirt and sunshine. As big as this motherfucking tree get, it's just really this tiny part. So how much of us is that, and how much of us is everything else? So we're carrots and celery and Oreo cookies and motherfucking whiskey. You know what I'm saying? We're all this shit. So that's how my career is. Like,
you've done so much work with so many people.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's crazy.
It's fucking crazy.
It's fucking crazy. When I first started reading your Wikipedia, because that's like usually my first source, but I dig farther, you know, because like you never know, right?
Investigative journalism. That's smart.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is, you don't want
to... Do you call yourself a journalist?
No.
It's a big...
I just call myself everybody's best friend, man. I just want to... Yeah. I just...
Because journalism is a big title. It's hard to be a reputable and honest journalist in this day.
And that's why I don't really call myself a journalist, only because I don't really care about controversial. Like, if people want to go there, cool. Like, for me...
Well, I don't think journalism is controversial. I think journalism has a certain adherence to...
And I think it depends on the standards. Space you occupy, right?
Journalism standards, you know? A lot of these people ain't journalism. They just broadcasters.
True. True. Yeah, I guess it would be more journalism in the research sense for me.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, in that sense, because you do want to get to know your guests. You don't want to come across insulting. For me, what I do is like... You know, I have a routine of researching, and then I write down before my podcast, like, everything that I remember that's notable to me, the things I want to talk about. But what I think my gift is to be able to have the conversation without having to write a 30 list of questions, right? Because
so instead of the question, you take notes. Subjects,
listen, man, I'd rather have a conversation with anybody than grill them with a bunch of questions. How are you even going to develop a relationship with you? How am I going to be your friend? If all I do is sit here and grill you with questions, whether it be about the music you wrote or about everybody else, but instead I can dig on you on life a little bit, like I've been able to, and you've been just open and super considerate. I think that's even more special because we get to really know Malik at that point,
right?
Versus like, yeah, it's cool that you worked with all these people and stuff, right? But yeah, you always try to centralize my interviews more so on the guest and the, of course, but you know, good stories are good stories, bro.
It's true.
You know, good stories are good stories. I think the work that you've done with some of these artists, one somebody I'm always a fan of is John Legend. Because he's such a talent.
That motherfucker, man.
Yeah. I want to just go. Just tell me about John
Legend. Unfairly gifted, though, right? Unfairly gifted.
Yeah. Like,
to have that much talent and that type of instrument, you know, it's just unfair.
Yeah.
You know, how the fuck do you get that? How the fuck do you have that resonance? Now, of course, he hones his skill. But most of that shit, he just born with, G. Come on, let's be honest, man. And other people don't get born with that, you know? So it's just, you know, some people are just, you know, like Shaquille O'Neal, just born tall as fuck, G. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's how it is sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and not everybody that's Shaquille O'Neal's height was going to be Shaquille O'Neal, but damn, made it so much easier.
Shaq is just such a, just a mammoth of a human being.
It's fucking crazy.
But when you're born with that talent, no matter what space that you're occupying, whether it be in the music industry, the, you know, in any athletics, right, mm-hmm. at all, or anything that requires any sort of creative, I mean, it's unstoppable. It's unstoppable. Yeah. And like you,
if you work that shit, it's unstoppable. John Legend is fucking ridiculous. It's difficult to be around John Legend, bro.
Is it difficult because you're like, do you feel like he's so far superior?
Yeah.
Just simply because you go to his house
to record, and he's like, he can record himself. He can engineer the shit. He can play fucking instruments and shit. He can fucking sing the paint off the walls. And you know what I'm saying? This is like, man, get the fuck out of here.
You're like, you know, why am I even here right now?
What the fuck are you doing, man? It's all this shit. Hey, okay, take that take again, Malik. I'm like, man, get the fuck out of here, John.
That is hilarious,
and
bro.
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
This nigga's brilliant, bro. This nigga's a genius, man. Like a world-class thinker.
John Legend can bring me to tears, dude.
So we both got trapped going to Kanye's wedding. It's crazy. We both got in the same day for Mama Donda's funeral. We were at the airport together. And I think we both stayed. No, maybe I just stayed at Kanye's aunt's house with Kanye on mom's funeral. But me and John were able to be together at that time. And then going to Kanye's wedding, we both got trapped in Philly. And got there late.
Okay.
I was like, how'd you make it to Philly? He's like, man, took the private jet. He's like, All of Me was a big song this year. All of Me was a big song this year. I'm like, enough to pick a private jet, nigga? Hell yeah, you tweaking.
That's a hell of a great song, too.
What?
Yeah, that's a hell of a great song. I could probably sing the whole entire thing.
Oh, yeah, me too. I can't sing it, but I know that's
it. I won't sing it for the sake of everybody's ears.
Out of respect for John, I won't sing it.
Yeah, exactly.
That song's crazy.
That song is hot. Oh. And that song will be forever hot, and I think that's what's also awesome about the music that you've written. And
he made a perpetual wedding song. That's a cheat code.
That's a cheat code, man.
He made perpetual wedding songs. It's a cheat code. It's like Will Smith made Summertime's Unlimited. Mariah Carey made Christmas. Come on, man. It's these little cheats and shit that happen, man. But no, man, John Legend, man, I would love to fight him.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to fight him. Why not? I got like 2 or 3 songs with John, 4 songs or whatever. We got this song people don't know about called Magic Man. Me, John, JV, Kanye, and Common that never made Kanye's album. And it's crazy. And John is just goes fucking crazy stunting on that. And JV, my boy JV, got a voice too like that. It's just like to walk around with that type of skill. It's like, it's unfair. People are like, life is fair. No, it's fucking not.
It's never fair.
All right, what do you mean it's fair? Life's not fair.
Do you feel like in your career, because this is what I'm experiencing, so I'll definitely ask this selfish question. Do you feel like you had a vision, it didn't go the way you wanted it, it didn't go the way you envisioned it, but it went 10 times better?
Yeah, I never thought about the industry in my whole life.
That's crazy.
I never even imagined myself like having Emmys and shit. What? Making movies? What?
How many Grammys do you have?
8. Lost like 32 times. 34 times I think I've lost.
Damn.
34 losses, bro. It's a lot. A lot of fucking losses, bro. It's motherfuckers with like, I only got 4 nominations. I'm like, oh, how many Grammys you got? 4. I'm like, fuck.
dude, but like,
you have to go through no pain. There was no pain in your process.
What was the first time you were nominated? Did you win or lose?
I think we won. Let me tell you the crazy thing. We talking about John Legend? Take some wild shit. So 1 year in the Grammys, I was on a John Legend album and I was on a Raheem Devon album.
Okay.
And for best male R&B, it was 4 people in the category. It was John Legend, Raheem Devon, Trey Songz, and somebody else. I can't remember who, out of respect, I can't remember who that 4th person was. But in that process, I had a 50% chance of winning in that category.
Oh, wow.
And each one of them had 25% chance. And it was so uncomfortable. Because I love both of them. I love Raheem Devon and I love John Legend. And one of them had to lose, but no matter which one of them won, I won too. I couldn't lose.
Yeah, there was no losing.
There was no losing for me because I knew Trey Songz would, even though Trey is the beast, he wasn't getting it. And the fourth guy definitely wasn't going to get it. So it was really a two-horse race. And I was riding both horses some kind of fucking way.
God, dude.
It was the weirdest shit in the world.
What a special space to occupy,
It was
though.
Weird, bro.
Yeah.
I promise you. I was like, oh, this is... this. The closer it gets to Grammys, the weirder it feels. And, of course, I run into John and his parents on the red carpet.
Yep.
Of course.
Yep.
While I'm just taking a picture with Raheem Devine. And they're in the category battling each other. I was like, man, this is insane. This is crazy. It was such a weird space. And I was like, man, whoever loses to the other one, they're both my friends and brothers, and I love both of them, and I'm going to party. It was a weird thing, bro. It's like a strange place to be in.
Yeah.
It's like if you know, like you were a child, you know, your mom was cheating on your dad.
Yep.
Okay, cool. That's fucked up. But cheating on your stepdad, and you love your stepdad.
You're 100%.
What do I say?
Yeah.
Do I turn mommy in? That's the feeling.
Yeah, no, I turned mom in.
Did you?
Yeah, I ain't no bitch. The wrong is wrong, bro.
You
that's
rode
it,
out,
dog.
You rode out with stepdad.
Listen,
you
man, rode. Blood, whatever y'all want to call it. Yeah, I got no.
You had to tell OG.
I had to call it how I see it. That's why that's a lot of the beef with my family. They don't like it because I call it how I see it. And then I'll come on here and I'll call it how I see it. Mm. And people don't like that shit. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to continue to call it how I see it.
The truth teller has no friends.
That's it.
The truth teller has no friends, man.
And I was a big lying piece of shit a couple years ago. And that was the biggest part of me that had to change. Because I grew up that way.
Yeah.
You know, and
you
I learned
those tricks.
And I'll tell you what, man. I'd rather have everybody in the world hate me for being just blunt, brutal, honest, you know, straight to the point, then have them all love me for something I'm not or something they maybe believe that I have portrayed at the time. But I don't do that shit anymore. So, yeah, you could love it, like it, or hate it, but that's how it goes.
Hate me for who I am.
That's it.
As opposed to love me for who I'm not. But this is the entertainment industry where motherfuckers portray themselves to be a thing that they totally not. I see it all the time. I'm like, motherfucker, you ain't nothing like what you portraying yourself to be. Stop playing. But people believe it because it's entertainment.
I don't, and I hate that too. And I've not aired podcasts when I see somebody that is off, like off air.
Yeah.
When they change up on me, I'm like, Yeah, you get people that switch up all the time. And like, I just don't.
Gee, thank you for saying this
shit. Yeah, all the time.
I'm saying to that people like, never meet your heroes. Never meet your icons. Yes, meet them. Because I need to know that you ain't shit.
Yeah, that's it.
I need to know that you ain't shit. I want to meet you. And it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
When I find out that you ain't shit like what the fuck you said you was. Kanye got his body with Hov. And he called me like, you think Hov mad at me? I'm like, fucking, are you crazy? You got on stage, talked about his wife, talked about his daughter.
Yeah.
Talked about him. Yep. Told him, don't send your killers. You know murder doesn't have a statute of limitation, bro?
No, never.
How you going to say that this person has killers? You can't say that, bro. Are you fucking crazy? Where's your codes?
Walk away and go, hey, are we good?